Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Now, our next guest ordinarily joins us on Thursdays, but she is being flown up to New York City. I assume it is to win some very lofty prize for elite level journalism. That is why we love to have Lulu Kessin join us on the show. Kind enough to offer us a different slot in the week. And we appreciate the time as always. Lulu Kessin, how we doing before a big trip to the Big Apple?
Good morning. Thanks for being flexible. I'm tired, but I'm good. I'm good.
I love it. Glad to hear it. I can't imagine you're not tired because I have to imagine, Lulu, that the vibes were high in Columbia, South Carolina this past weekend, and we will get into the X's and the O's here in just a few minutes from right now. But talk to me, whether it is from a emotional standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint, from a standpoint of just getting everybody back on the same page, and I'm talking player to player, player to coach, coach to coach, fan to coach, fan to player, etc. How big was that win this weekend?
It was huge. Obviously, Shane Beamer specifically really needed that win, and South Carolina's team this year did. But I think everybody, involved in the program could take even just the slightest, sigh of relief. You could tell total shift in vibes, definitely not in the sense of, oh, we have nothing else to worry about anymore. Just, okay, we're back at least in the winning column before we have a week off.
You start the year 0-2 in the Southeastern Conference. And that makes it very unlikely, not impossible, because we saw Georgia lose, we saw LSU lose, not impossible that if you were able to run the slate, and that's obviously a huge task with the teams you have lined up ahead of you for the rest of the ride, Lulu Kessin, but it has to be looked at as 10-2 gets you into the playoffs. I've been saying all year, I think it is very possible a 9-3 team could get in. I think those are pretty heavy asks with the schedule ahead of South Carolina, but I also still think it is, again, with the greatest year ever, absolutely a possibility. Is that being discussed, talked about? Do you think that is something that is on the player's mind, or are we just recognizing the spot we're in and the challenge ahead of us is a game-by-game scenario?
Well, I think for Shane, he'll never lower expectations even when things sort of don't go the way they planned, and I think we can all be realistic of the and think that we all thought South Carolina was going to be 4-1, maybe 5-0 heading into this bye week. Definitely did not see them losing to, Vanderbilt. And I mean, Missouri was a bit more realistic in my eyes, but we've realized since then that South Carolina, has some growing pains and that Vanderbilt is an incredibly good team. Like, I will stand on that. I will definitely eat my words. And I mean, I never thought they were bad, but I picked South Carolina to win. But that's all to say, I do think South Carolina fans are probably more realistic now of the sense. I mean, I've seen some tweets that's like, hey, 10-2 is still on the table. I think that right now it's don't take a step back from last year and finish with as close to, 8 or 9 wins as you can, because in all honesty, that looks difficult at times with this team. But at the same time, it's Shane. It's somebody that wants to continue his, to bring this program to new heights, and he's not going to say, oh, we can't be a playoff team until he's probably told they can't be.
I want to stay right here for just a minute, Lulu Kessin, because as we mentioned, very difficult rest of the SEC schedule remaining between here and the game against Coastal, and then obviously Clemson coming to the crib at the end of the year. But when you are talking about carrying momentum, this is something South Carolina did last year, not the start they wanted to the season. After the LSU loss, they were able to kind of like hit a new gear. This is a team I have described as, to throw that millennial word around again, this is a vibes team. This is a team that is, it, when it's up and it's playing well and the boys are clicking and hitting helmets together, it feels like a different football team than it did, say, for instance, in the Vanderbilt game, in the end of the Missouri game when Ahmad Hardy was just running like a freight train through the defense. I kind of felt those vibes again during specifically the end of that Kentucky game. What needs to be done to ensure that that mentality sticks this time? And if they don't, if they hit a little adversity against A&M or Oklahoma or LSU in the night game at Baton Rouge or whatever, that they don't kind of go back to that mentality of Vanderbilt? Or do you think that is something that is within the control of Shane Beamer and or the football team itself?
That's a good question. I think yes and no. With South Carolina, a lot of their issues were execution-based, but at the same time, exactly to your point, they were vibe-based, and they were almost like a little lack of, you know, focus or leadership or things that were well, you know, within just the lines of, okay, mentally something's off right now. Bye weeks are scary, in my opinion, especially based on the fact that South Carolina had pretty two extreme outcomes, in my opinion, after a bye week. They have a week off and then host Ole Miss last year and then lose 27-3. And then they go on a little bit, you know, they lose to Alabama, they beat Oklahoma, and then they have another bye week, and then they win kind of big, in my opinion, against Texas A&M. I think that South Carolina has shown that they can do some good and some bad after extra time off. It doesn't help that LSU was coming into this game having just picked up a loss. That's probably going to anger them. But I think South Carolina, to answer your question, has to recognize that a lot more went well than just executing against a bad Kentucky team. Like, they were, offense was helping defense and vice versa. There were good vibes, and it seems like people were playing as one. And that needs to stick more than anything. It can't just be, okay, we executed the game plan really well against Kentucky. They have to continue to take step forward in recognizing what else went well.
I agree with that entirely. One more question in this line, Lulu, and then we will get to the LSU game and the rest moving forward. It sounds kind of like a joke and a joke question, but it is very much not. In that press conference, and we all remember the comments from Mark Stoops a couple of years ago about there's a difference between culture change and climate change, and putting on funny sunglasses and dancing in the locker room is a climate change. We at Kentucky are going through a culture change. Shane Beamer's 4 in a row against Kentucky, but more importantly, after the back-to-back L's, I pointed out, and I think I brought it up to you a couple of weeks ago, that it felt like things kind of went quiet in Columbia, right? Like, we weren't getting the larger-than-life personality we've come to expect and love out of Shane Beamer. Most of the players' social media channels kind of went dark there for a little while. It didn't feel like the character of that team was there. In the press conference, Shane got asked, hey, no sunglasses this time? And he kind of laughed and said, no sunglasses, but we were bumping Soulja Boy in the locker room, which is the song that they were playing when those comments from Mark Stoops came out. You combine that with the on-the-field comment in the postgame where he said, yeah, one of their coaches said Beamer ball isn't a South Carolina thing, that's a Virginia Tech thing. Welp, and he pointed at the scoreboard. It kind of felt like all of that was not just receipts for Kentucky, but kind of setting the tone moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that Shane recognized, like, he had to move in silence the last 2 weeks because it wasn't just, okay, they lost to a good team. Like, I think, for example, like the Alabama game last year, they did almost everything right. I mean, Lenoris had an insane game, but he had a bad, you know, he threw one bad pass at the wrong time and had two costly fumbles. Like, that's when I think Shane can continue to be himself after a win and still, like, be, you know, the vibes that we all expect, but I think he kind of really read the room and recognized that a lot of people were unhappy with him and kind of bought into this idea of, okay, like we can't be like that until we prove that we're worthy of that on the field. And I think that was a huge focus. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but it did feel like your assessment is correct, where they took a lot of time to kind of really reflect and figure out what was exactly kind of going wrong. And that's not to say they have it entirely figured out now, but I think he recognized it was a really productive step forward.
Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show, ordinarily at this time on Thursdays, but has a trip OOT out of town, so she's joining us here on a Tuesday. Let's kind of take a glance ahead, Lulu Kessin, at this LSU game. You mentioned a minute ago they take a punch to the nose against Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin and the boys get it done. And there's two things about that. Number one, I kind of thought and called the shot on Friday. I kind of thought LSU a little bit overrated. I think Garrett Nussmeier is fine, but I didn't get him skyrocketing to the top of the Heisman hype. I thought it was a team, like Brian Kelly's teams are, that the minute that they got punched a couple of times, they would kind of fold a little bit. Yes, they're going to be mad. Yes, they're going to be buzzing. But the takeaway from that game for me was Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback that took over at Ole Miss, being elusive, getting outside of the pocket, using his athleticism as weapon number one to set up the arm was what did LSU in. If there's a good bit for South Carolina, a good takeaway from that game, it's got to be that if you let Lenora Sellers loose, he can do what Trinidad Chambliss did for Ole Miss. What's your 36,000-foot view on this game a handful of days before we get there?
Yeah, I agree. And I definitely think the thing about like LSU, too, if we're just talking statistics, you know, their offense isn't, and I know that this might sound crazy, but their offense isn't performing at that much higher of a clip right now than South Carolina's is. Both teams can't really run the ball. Both teams are sort of still struggling with passing a little bit. If you're just looking at basic SEC standings, rankings, stats right now, it's a team that doesn't look, you know, really, really scary on paper like some of these others might, and kind of like I'd argue maybe an Ole Miss or A&M does right now. I think LSU is a team that South Carolina can beat if it plays its own game well, but also meets the moment, which they haven't really done, in my opinion, mentally. I think Kentucky, yes and no, but I just think, like, to be honest, Kentucky was just a lot worse than I expected them to be. But South Carolina did kind of recover quickly after letting, you know, the run game do whatever they wanted in the first quarter. But that's all to say, LSU, it's going to be a crazy environment. It's a night game in Death Valley. But at the same time, I think that South Carolina will be able to find some success if it plays its own game really well and doesn't, kind of like how Shane said, like, they have to play us too. Like, South Carolina hasn't necessarily earned that fear yet, but if it's something they buy into, they could have some success.
I do not disagree with that assessment. I think the other thing that is on the table here, and we talked about Lenoris, and I want to kind of use this, Lulu Kessin, to segue to another spot. It did feel, and Shane Beamer pointed out again in that post-game press conference when asked specifically about the run game, that we were able to get Lenoris going to some degree. I think he had a dozen carries and only two or three were passes that he had to really take off. There were more of those design runs that I and a lot of Gamecock fans have been screaming about, while I also think to some degree trying to take care of Lenoris, especially after that head injury a couple of weeks ago, not throwing him to the wolves. This LSU team is very, very good in the defensive backfield, and with Whit Weeks very good at the linebacker spot. Do you think we will see Mike Shula lean more into Lenoris, whether it is as a designed runner weapon or moving the pocket, shifting the block around, and taking advantage of the legs even on pass plays? Or do you think we're going to kind of stay a little bit more balanced against LSU? Because it feels like, to me, this would be a great time to really break out every tool that Lenoris has, because this game suddenly, after the Ole Miss game, kind of feels winnable, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I think it does really feel winnable. And I think you kind of have to pull out all the stops. I think that Shula has to be not only creative, but productive almost every single time Lenoris is on the field. you know, similar to what Shane said about Vanderbilt, like, it's the type of game where you can't win if you don't sustain drives. And your defense can be amazing, and your defense can disrupt Garrett Nussmeier, but if Lenoris isn't able to match, you know, any type of offensive momentum that LSU has, it's going to be a long night. And I wish I could sit here and say that I expect Shula to I guess, I don't want to say allow, but just kind of buy into Lenoris on the ground as much as maybe he did and against Kentucky, or we saw Lenoris feel comfortable and confident doing against Kentucky. But there has to be, you know, tastes of Missouri too, which there's a lot on offense that impressed me against Missouri. I don't know if that's a hot take, but I think that there's a lot. South Carolina has put on tape throughout very random moments. It's sort of putting that into one game.
I do not disagree with that either. So then let's ask one more, Lulu Kessin, and we'll let you get up out of here. We know what the slow start against Virginia Tech did, in my opinion. That led to a slow start against SC State. I think the slow start against SC State led to what happened against Vanderbilt. You compound that with the injury to Lenora Sellers. The team went flat. They come back out. Next game on the road at Mizzou. I think at that point they were kind of in their own head. I think it was a reset, and that's why everybody went dark. This win over Kentucky leading into the LSU game. If South Carolina is able to get a win over LSU, a team that did fall down a bunch of spots after the loss, still a very good football team. If South Carolina can go on the road and get a win over LSU, what does that set up the rest of the season to look like for you, knowing that Texas A&M is a top 16, Oklahoma is a top 5 team, Alabama's waiting for you. We'll see what happens with them and Vandy this weekend. But with that gauntlet ahead of you, what does it mean if Shane Beamer can figure it out, if Lenora Sellers balls out, and if this team is able to hand LSU their second consecutive?
Well, I think that it wouldn't be LSU lost to a really, you know, oh, wow, LSU lost to a bad South Carolina team. It's, okay, South Carolina had a bad start. And I think the only way that you prove that, you know, that you're a young team with growing pains, but you have talent, is to win in the back half of the season, regardless of how hard your schedule is. And I know that might sound unfair, but, you know, South Carolina still, despite all it lost, returned enough and had enough portal talent, you know, recruiting talent to, you know, be productive this year. And it has not reached its potential. So I think if South Carolina hands LSU its second straight loss in their own stadium, the narrative is set up for Shane to kind of punch his ticket home by saying, all right, we didn't get off to the best start, but this team is still good. We're still a good program. We're still taking steps forward.
All right, Lulu Kessin, prediction for the ball game.
Ooh, I haven't even thought that far yet. I think it's close. I think it's one touchdown, one way or the other. I might print LSU win, but believe South Carolina will win.
I like that. I like that. As somebody who loves to hedge a bet, I love that. Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. Ordinarily joins us on Thursday. Got some plans, kind enough to shift ahead and talk some Gamecocks with us today. Young lady, you are the best. Thank you very much, as always. Enjoy your trip to New York. Get some pizza. It's the best.
Thank you. I can't wait. Yes. Thank you so much again for being flexible, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Of course. Absolutely. Lulu Kessin again from the Greenville News. Follow her if you're a Gamecock fan on X at Lulu Kessin, LULUKESIN. Follow us into the next segment because, ladies and gentlemen, as we always do in the 8 o'clock hour, it is time to hand out America's most prestigious awards. It is time to hand out the trophies for this week in football. That's next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to it. Let's hand out America's favorite individual football awards. Backseat Heisman Trophy. Take a hike, NFL MVP. It is the awards that the real football heads care about. So let's dive right in. We've got a fistful of them to give out in college football. We'll do our NFL in the next segment. We start with a Friday night upset of the number 8 Florida State Seminoles carried out by the Virginia Cavaliers, a double overtime 46-38 win in this one. I'd like to hand it to the quarterback Chandler Morris, but it got picked off three times in that game. Instead, I am going to give it, and I don't do group awards very often, but I'm going to give it to the Virginia Cavalier receivers, and I mean all of them. Why 229 receiving yards against a defense that was feeling itself dating back to that win over Alabama? Nobody had more than 45 yards, but they had 9 different receivers that had double digits in the receptions category. If you watch this game, Virginia was just dinking and dunking FSU to death. They gassed Florida State's defense. So when it came overtime, Florida State's defense was just out of it at that point. It's cliche. I hate doing group awards. Can't help it in this one. Entire Virginia receiving corps pick up their first TMF INR. 27-24, the Arizona State Sun Devils upset the TCU Horny Toads. Relic Brown, 24 carries, 134 yards.
Cousin?
No, we are not related. That I'm aware of. Maybe we are. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't see a family resemblance. 21 totes, a buck 34. Did not score, but kept the field open. I was very close to handing it to Sam Levitt, 27 of 39, 291 and 2 touchdowns. The reason that I picked Arizona State to win the Big 12 this year. But another one of those games, the TMF INRs are not awarded on stats alone. They are awarded on impact on the game. And Raleigh Brown and his run game, 6.4 yards per carry, kept the TCU Horny Toads on the front foot on defense, opened up the field for Sam Levitt. Raleigh Brown is not real. 24-6, the Ohio State Buckeyes knock off the Washington Huskies. Another one of those games, great one, that nobody on the Buckeyes team really stood out as being exceptional, especially considering, as you pointed out on Monday, this Buckeye team took a little while to get rolling. Scoreless at the end of the first quarter, the Buckeyes led 7-3 at the end of the first half. Nobody really jumping off the stat sheet, but I got to give it to somebody as the number one team in the country gets another win. Julian Sain, efficient with the football, 22 of 28, 208, 2 touchdowns, never really looked over the top for any big shots to Jeremiah Smith, probably because he did not need to. 22 of 28, 208, and 2 touchdowns through the air. Julian Sain.
I know freshmen don't want Heisman?
No, because of the next guy that picked up a TMF INR award. That is the quarterback of the Oregon Ducks. They went to Nittany Lionville, to Happy Valley. It was a whiteout. It's supposed to be the most intimidating thing in the world, which, by the way, we're going to talk about that here in just a few moments because there's actually a hilarious history to the whiteout. Whatever. Point is, Dante Moore, 29 of 39, 248 and 3 touchdowns. The Ducks rushed for a buck 76. Moore had 35 of those rushing yards. He is your, right now, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct and ball-knowing opinion, Dante Moore is your front runner for the Heisman. A freshman picking up the most iconic trophy in college football. I don't know, but this performance helped. Dante Moore is not real. 24-19, the Ole Miss Rebels knock off and upset the number 4 ranked LSU Tigers. There's nobody else I could give this to. Kevin Lacy had 87. That's a big day. Caden Lee, 70 yards and a touchdown through the air. How about Trinidad Chambliss? Gets handed the starting reins 1 week before. Comes out, looks great. Then there was a controversy all week. Will he start? Will he not start? Will they go back to the other guy? Will Chambliss keep his job? It was a big smoke show. I think they knew all week he was going to get the run. But to head into this game against an LSU defense that was expected to be one of the best in the country and to go 23 of 39 for 314, one tutty and a pick, and also run for 71 yards, Trinidad Chambliss, quarterback, Ole Miss, is not real. 24-21, the Alabama Crimson Tide knock off the Georgia Bulldogs in they crib. Head into Athens and get it done. The run game was okay for Alabama. They get Jim Miller back, 16 carries, 46 yards, average just under 3 per carry. The receiving core, very good, led by Isaiah Horton, 5 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown. But can we talk about Ty Simpson? All the SEC quarterback discussion we had about Lenora Sellers and Garrett Nussmeier, all the conversations that we had about how big quarterbacks are going to be. Right now, there is not a quarterback in the SEC, and I would argue, based on preseason expectations, not a quarterback who is overperforming what he was expected to do than Ty Simpson. 24 of 38, 276, 2 touchdowns. More importantly, wasn't ever really looking for the big shots. Ty Simpson was saying, what Georgia gives, I take, and he took with extreme efficiency. Quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Ty Simpson, is not real. The Texas A&M Aggies, 16-10 winners over the Auburn Tigers. That bumped them all the way up into the top 6 in college football. I bounced around about who should get this, and then I realized I shouldn't bounce around. It's Le'Veon Moss. 21 carries, 139 yards and a touchdown, averaged over 6.6 yards per carry. Even if you take away his breakout 38-yard touchdown run, he still had 101 yards into the face of an Auburn Tiger defense. Le'Veon Moss. For the record, Casey Concepcion was close. 7 grabs, 113 through the air. But what Le'Veon Moss did was set the tone for the Aggies. 20-15, the Hoosiers. They win. Google them. Get a 2015 win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. It is not, although I love him, and I think he should be at the top of your Heisman odds as well, not Fernando Mendoza. It is Elijah Surratt for the Indiana Hoosier receiving corps. 6 grabs, 132 yards, and a touchdown, including a 49-yarder that broke the game open. Indiana receiver Elijah Surratt is not real.
Break the game, Oprah. I mean, I can't.
I got like 12 more, and we got like 3 minutes. I am balling out here. 39-14. The Iowa State Cyclones still undefeated at 5-0, moving up the rankings one after the next. No, it is not Rocco Beck, who we talked about last week as the reason that they would win this game, although he did help to get Chase Sewell's 4 grabs, 146 yards on the board. Did not score in this game, but when Iowa State found their back against the wall, Sewell was able to pop out and get one done. Chase Sewell is not real. Let's go to the Tennessee 41-34 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs. This one was tough. This one was tough because Joey Aguilar, who was 24-40 for 335 and a touchdown, also got picked off twice, and both of them needless interceptions, which sends me then to the receiver core. Mike Matthews, 6 catches, 118 yards. Chris Brazell, the second, 6 catches, 105 yards. They found spots open. They were catching the football in stride, and when Joey Aguilar, who went from darling to cast off, needed a bump, needed a boost, needed some help, he got it from Matthews and Brazell. Let's go to the Georgia Tech game against Wake Forest. Ooh, shouldn't have been this close for the Rambling Wreck, but it was. They remained undefeated at 5-0 with a 30-29 walk-off victory. Who else? Haynes King. He's going to win at one every time anybody wins one for the Wreck. Jamal Haynes was banged up before this game. He did go 10 carries, 21 yards, was not efficient, so it all fell onto the shoulders of Haynes King. 28-42, 243, and a touch through the air. 21 totes, 106 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry, and punched it in twice. This young man is a monster. Haynes King. Vanderbilt, 55-35 over the Utah State Aggies. You know who the man is. Diego Pavia, 26 of 34, 321 passing yards, and 5 aerial touchdowns for Diego Pavia. There's some other guys that were in the running, but then it was running that won it for Pavia. 9 carries, 79 yards in a touchdown as well. Once again, Diego Pavia is not real. The Missouri Tigers over the Massachusetts Minutemen. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this one because that's a bad matchup, 42-6. I just wanted to talk one more time about Ahmad Hardy. 24 carries, 130 yards, 3 touchdowns. That kid's good. Ahmad Hardy. Let's go to the Illinois. 34-32 win over the Trojans. This was a top 20 matchup in the Big Ten and massively important for both of these teams. Illinois not to get run by 40 like they did against Indiana. USC to prove that we are here and we belong. But the Illini get out of there with the win, and it was because of Luke Altmyer. 20 of 26, 328 yards, and a pair of touchdowns through the air for Luke Altmyer. Also had 28 yards and a tutty on the ground as well. Illinois wins because Luke Altmyer is not real. Notre Dame 56-13 winners. They got a man fired. Sam Pittman fired because the Irish had their way. Why not give it to the young man named CJ Carr taking over? A lot of question marks. Can he step in and be the Golden Domer starting quarterback? 22 of 30, 354 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Irish, once again, couldn't really get Jeremiah Love going. CJ Carr said, don't want him, don't need him. 354, 4 tutties, CJ Carr. Duke 38-3. They punch Syracuse. Syracuse? Who am I, Mike Tyson? They punch Syracuse in the face.
Syracuse didn't know what to hit him.
Yeah, that one was a little tough. Why not Darian Mensah? 22 of 28, 268, 2 touchdowns. Didn't need to be stellar, didn't have to be stellar. And I'm going to duo this one because Nate Shepard carried it 15 for a 168 and 2 touchdowns. Mensah and Shepard, not real. Louisville 34-27 over the Pitt Panthers. Miller Moss, I've been saying his name all offseason. Pay attention to him. 51 passes, completed 33 for 339 and 3 touchdowns. Miller Moss. And we wrap it up with Virginia Tech's 23-21 win over the NC State Wolfpack. Tyrion Stewart, 15 carries, 174 on the ground. Didn't score, didn't need to. He kept the ball in the hands of the Hokies. The Hokies kept the dub in Blacksburg, Virginia. Tyrion Stewart. When we come back, we hand out our TMFINRs for the National Football League. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite sports awards are the TMFINR awards. We hand them out every Tuesday here on the Rob Brown Show, recognizing exceptional excellence across the college and professional sports landscapes. Let's continue with that now across the National Football League. The Seattle Seahawks are 3-1 after a 23-20 win over the Arizona Cardinals. I bounced around on this one because, again, kind of numbers that don't really jump off the page. But the TMFINRs are not just handed out based on stats. They are handed out on context in which things are achieved in the game. And that is why for this one, I have to go with a young man who is yet another on the crop of Panthers quarterbacks who go somewhere else and do good things. Sam Darnold took care of the football. 18 of 26, 242, and a touchdown, a QBR of 75, and a rating of 111 in this game, and did so behind an offensive line for Seattle that was having its worst game of the season so far. Sacked 3 times for 13 yards, but got it done nonetheless. On top of that, I just like good things for Sam Darnold.
Way to go, Sam.
Way to go, Sam. 24-21, the Pittsburgh Steelers get a win over the Minnesota Vikings. Bounced around on this one, too, but I'm going to hand this out for two reasons. Number one, the guy earned it. Number two, because Lonzo knocked this one out of the park. He said, look out, DK Metcalf is a game changer. In fact, pit the Steelers to win this division because DK Metcalf is a game changer. DK Metcalf changed this game. 5 snags, 126 yards, including an 80-yard touchdown. Did not drop a football. 5 targets, 5 grabs, 126 and a tutty. DK Metcalf. And if you ever see that dude without a shirt on, I think he legitimately may not be real. Like, I think he may actually be a Decepticon. That dude is built in a way that people should not be built outside of a video game.
He should also cross over into wrestling when he's done.
Dude, yeah, he's insane. 27-34, the Atlanta Falcons able to knock off the Washington Commanders. Now 2 games without Jaden Daniels, 2 losses.
Wait. You're going to give something to the Falcons?
Hey, man, the TMFINRs do not discriminate, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to give it to the Falcons, and I am going to give it for the second time this season to Bijan Robinson. Michael Penix Jr. was fine. 20 of 26, 313, 2 touchdowns and interception. Those numbers look great, but it must be taken into consideration the fact that both Bijan Robinson and Drake London reeled off some massive numbers. Bijan Robinson had 5 targets, 4 catches, 106 receiving yards. You stack onto that 75 rushing yards and a rushing tutty as well. Michael Penix Jr. looked good in this game. Bijan Robinson looked like the guy they drafted him to be. That's why Bijan Robinson catches his second TMFINR of the year. 31-19, the Buffalo Bills knock off the New Orleans Saints. It is not Josh Allen that gets this week's for the Buffalo Bills.
Four? What are you doing?
He earned 4 back in week 1. He hasn't done anything to give one back yet. Right. I'm sure that game's coming. You know that game's coming. It just wasn't this one, but it was a big game for James Cook. 22 totes, 117 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Also had 3 for 18 through the air as well in a game where Buffalo's offense just could not get comfortable in the pass game. James Cook said, I got you, dog, and picks up a TMFINR. The Detroit Lions go up against a Cleveland team that was feeling itself a little bit after knocking off the Packers the last week. It didn't matter. 34-10 is your final in this one. I bounced around on this one a little bit. Again, there weren't great quarterback numbers. Jared Goff, 16 of 27, 168, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Not great receiving numbers. Amon-Ra St. Brown, probably in the conversation. 7 snags on 7 targets. Did have 70 yards and a pair of touchdowns. I'm going to give it to Jahmyr Gibbs. This is a cat who watched David Montgomery do his best to take his job the last 2 weeks by dramatically overperforming. I believe Montgomery picked up 2 TMFINRs in the last 2 weeks. He does not get his third because Jahmyr Gibbs showed up in this game. 15 totes, 91 yards, averaged over 6.1 yards per carry, and scored on the ground as well. Yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown with 2 touchdowns and 70 yards is in the discussion. But Jahmyr Gibbs kept the field open by running like a freight train. Jahmyr Gibbs catches a TMFINR award. 42-13, the Patriots demolish the Carolina Panthers. Drake May, 14 of 17, 203. Stephon Diggs, 6 grabs for 101. I got to tell you, I think I'm going to give it to Drake May. They only asked for 17 passes compared to 29 rushing attempts, and he did not make a bad throw in this game. A QBR of 95, one of the highest in the weekend. No, the yardage isn't stacked up. But why is that? What's Carolina's weakness? Middle of the field, the linebacker spot, the step-up defensive backs. What did Drake May do with the ball? Just keep finding the spot, pounding the rock where the defense is at its weakest. Drake May gets his first TMFINR award of the year. 21-18, the Giants down the Chargers. That's a real thing that really happened in this game. Here's the thing. The numbers don't jump off the page. They didn't need to. New York just needed a win, and they got one over a surprising win to get opponent, the LA Chargers. The numbers aren't there to be a standout TMFINR, but Jackson Dart got the start. He became Jackson's start. There were question marks. He's a rook. He hasn't done anything in the regular season. We'll be able to keep up. He wasn't exceptional, but he wasn't bad. 13 of 20, 111, and a touchdown through the air. Cam Scataboo, 25 carries, 79 yards. Cam Scataboo is what CTE would look like if it had arms and legs. Like, that man's a menace to everyone standing between him and anywhere he wants to be.
See, you say Dart.
He's Mike Allstott, but tiny.
Oh, for sure. You say Dart wasn't exceptional, but he was what the crowd wanted, and the crowd got proven right, at least for one game.
He was an absolute spark plug. He did have 10 carries for 54 yards in his first rushing touchdown.
He didn't throw like 25 interceptions like Russell Wilson did. Either.
Nothing bad. And when the game got late and the Chargers tried to mount a comeback, Jackson Dart did exactly what he needed to do. Possess the ball, stretch out the offensive possessions, win the football game. And he did it as a rookie who half the Giants fans were calling for and half said, why are we giving the ball to a rook when we need a win? Jackson Dart. The Eagles, 31-25 winners on the road at Tampa Bay. Jalen Hurts only 130 through the air. He had 62 on the ground, though. Outrushed Saquon Barkley. By the way, I'm not saying that Saquon is done. I am saying people figured out, take away Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts beat you. And Jalen Hurts is figuring out how to beat you. Saquon Barkley did have the fake tush push for the end around, which we have to talk about, and we will coming up here in a minute. But yada, yada, yada. Jalen Hurts, he's not putting up numbers that blow you off the page. He's not putting up numbers that are getting him ESPN top 10 plays. He doesn't need to. You want to stop Saquon? Fine. I'll be efficient with the football, 15 of 24. I will run it when you give me space. 9 carries, 62 yards, average 7 yards a carry. Saquon Barkley did not show up. Jalen Hurts did. The Texans shut out the Titans 26-0 in this one. And hey, listen, for a dude who's taken a lot of crap, because, and for the record, in the last 8 games, the final 4 last year, the first 4 this year, Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than CJ Stroud, and it's not particularly close. Way more interceptions, or way more touchdowns, way fewer picks, but sometimes you just got to see one go in, and that's what CJ Stroud did this weekend. 22 of 28, 233, 2 touchdowns, and that was with the Houston Texans running the ball 35 times in this game. He carried them in this one. CJ Stroud gets his first on the season. 27-20, the LA Rams knock off the Indianapolis Colts. Who else but Matt Stafford? Kyren Williams was good, needed him to be, 77 yards on 13 carries, but Matt Stafford, 29 of 41, 375 yards and 3 touchdowns. I am going to tandem this one because Kane showed up in the chat and said, shout out to my boy Puka Nacua. I will give the tandem because of the 375 passing yards and 3 touchdowns of Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua had 13 snags, 170 yards, and a touchdown. Matt Stafford and Puka Nacua are not real. The Jags did it again. I tried to tell you that's a good team this year. Trevor Lawrence, 21 of 31, 174 and a touchdown. Efficiency again, the name of the game for a lot of quarterbacks this year. It was the elder ETN, Travis ETN, who catches the TMFINR for this one. 19 totes, 124 yards, averaged 6.5 yards per carry, and punched one in as well. Listen, you want Trevor Lawrence to continue to grow, develop, play efficient football like he has done to earn Jags a 3-1 record? You got to have a run game. You got to let him work well with Travis Etienne, and they did. Until Brian Thomas Jr. gets it going again, please and thank you. Until Travis Hunter, who did have 42 yards, by the way, in this one as a receiver, develops into his own as a receiver in the offense, you've got to be able to run the ball. And Travis Etienne, 19 for 124 and a tutty, did just that. 37-20, the Kansas City Chiefs demolish the Baltimore Ravens in this one. Listen, Patrick Mahomes won one last week. I didn't want to hand out back-to-backs to anybody, whether they are Mahomes or anybody else, but I don't know who else to give it to. 38 rushing yards for Xavier Worthy. He's not a running back, by the way. 35 for Isaiah Pacheco, 34 for Kareem Hunt. Hunt averaged 2.6 yards per carry. Pacheco averaged 5 because he only had 7. It's a good showing. Xavier Worthy had 83 receiving yards as well. but Patrick Mahomes kept the field open. He was elusive, took one sack against a Baltimore defense that was coming for him. He recognized where the injuries were. He took advantage. This is one that, yes, 270 is a good number. 4 passing touchdowns is a great number. Mahomes was just taking what Baltimore's defense gave him, and they gave a lot, Patrick Mahomes. Still not real.
Surprised you didn't give it to Xavier Worthy, though.
I thought about it, but I think Xavier Worthy was set up by Mahomes. I will give receivers, as I've done like 4 times so far, I will give receivers a TMFINR for making the quarterback look good. I think Patrick Mahomes made the offense look good in this one.
Everything opened up because Worthy was on the field. So
25-24. The Chicago Bears are now at 2-2 with a win over the now 1-3 Raiders in this one. Again, not a number that's going to blow you away.
Do you think the Raiders are going to be good this year?
Cody Decker did.
All right, because I mean,
my response.
You don't need to get angry or defensive. I just couldn't remember.
My response to Cody Decker.
Dots on your shirt are like messing with me. Don't do that.
My response to Cody Decker when he said, "Look out, I think the Raiders are a dark horse to win this division," was, "No, they're not, Cody Decker, because Geno Smith is Geno Smith. 14 of 21, 117, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. 2 of them were atrocious passes from Geno Smith." Now, the good news is Ashton Jante finally got going. 21 carries, 138 yards, and a touchdown. In fact, I'm going to hand out our first LTMFINR. We don't give away many LTMFINRs. Joint, 1 from each team. Caleb Williams, 22 of 37, 212, a tutty, and a pick.
Wait, L, that means for losing?
Loss. That means loss. You take okay, the all right, L. All right. Listen, I think sometimes.
Don't make people try to figure out what the L stands for.
I think as valuable is not the same as most valuable player who won. Let's give 2. Caleb Williams, smart with the football. Made the right decisions most of the game. And Ashton Jante finally breaking out. 21 totes, a buck 38, and a touchdown. Let's go Williams and Jante. Packers get the overtime tie with the Dallas Cowboys. 40-40 is your final in that one. Bleep you, Jerry Jones. It's Dak Prescott. 31 of 40, 319, and 3 touchdowns, including 2 very high pressure touchdowns. 1 to end the first half, 1 to get them in the second half into a position to go to overtime. And I'm going to say it's a tandem here, too. And I'm going to say a second LTMFINR because everything Dak did, Jordan Love was right there with him. 31 of 43, 19, 3 touchdowns for Dak. 31 of 43, 337, and 3 touchdowns for Jordan Love. The 2 quarterbacks carried their teams to this tie. Honorary mention to George Pickens, but let's go Love and Prescott. QB showing out. 27-21, the Dolphins get their first win over the Jets last night. No, the numbers aren't there. Tua Tagovailoa was very smart with the football last night. Made the right reads, found the right guy for a guy who had been taking a lot of crap. Tua showed out, 17 of 25, a buck 77 and 2 touchdowns. Tua Tagovailoa. And we wrapped it up last night with a 28-3 Broncos win over the Bengals. Welcome back to the big screen, Bo Nix. 29 of 42, 326. I will tandem that with J.K. Dobbins. 16 totes, 101 yards, and a 6.3 yard per carry average. Nix and Dobbins are in this week's final TMFINR. Let's take a break. When we come back in the last segment of the show, we go back to the conversation we had to open the segment of the show, and that is the concept of a team philosophy and how it applies to our local squads. We'll talk about that next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Oh, yeah, also Sports Flash right now.
It's okay. Now it's time to recap everything that Rob just said, but with my voice. The Miami Dolphins picked up their first win of the year last night, beating the Jets 27-21. Tua Tagovailoa completed 17 of 25 passes for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill was forced to leave the game with a dislocated knee and major ligament damage, which will end the season. You don't look at it. You don't want to. The Denver Broncos got it to 2-2 with a 28-3 win over the Bengals last night on the arm of Bo Nix, who completed 29 of 42 passes for 326 yards and a pair of touchdowns. The Bengals were held to just 53 rushing yards and 125 passing yards, with no receivers recording more than 32 receiving yards. Major League Baseball park attendance went up for the 3rd consecutive year, the first time dating back to 2007. MLB said it drew 71.41 million fans this year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.